everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. The air quality advisory, they've just issued another one. Things not looking that great with our air quality. We weren't doing very well really over the last week or two, and then the mix to the now 4,500 acre fire in the Madera Canyon area. Our air quality not real good. It is Monday, the 24th of April. And on behalf of Ray and myself, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Hope you had a great weekend as we now plunge into the last full week of April already. We are live streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And of course, you can certainly hear us at AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our live line for you. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we'll be talking about President Trump's first 100 days, which that anniversary, that mark is coming up here at the end of the week. 790-2040 for your calls and comments. Our Monday political face-off presented by my friend Mo Gall. Mo and his family own Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at mosgallery.com. They're, of course, doing social media as well these days. Corinne, Mo's fine daughter, does a lot of the social media. They're on Facebook, so check them out. Every Monday, we do begin the program here with our Monday political face-off. Usually a different team of commentators each week. This week, it's Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash is in the midst of his fourth term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Dr. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, we'll begin with you. How was your weekend?
Oh, just wonderful. Kind of a Southern Arizona weekend. We went out to the county fair on Saturday night, had a great time, huge crowds. I mean, I was surprised. We were out there until about 8:30 or so, and as we were leaving, cars were still streaming in. Just amazing.
And you took a huge cotton candy to go home with you.
No, but I did try, and my wife just shakes her head. I did have to try the fried Reese's peanut butter
cup. Oh, you did?
Of course. Yeah. You have to have something
odd, like that.
Unique, yeah.
And Bruce Ash, you had a good weekend. I just missed you by less than an hour over at Moe's on Saturday. I had to pick up a job that Mo did, and of course, when Corinne unveils it, brings it out, it's always picture perfect, ready to be hung in a museum.
Well, first of all,
hanged in a museum.
Corinne is awesome.
No, huh.
Corinne is awesome. She's she's a very, very valuable part of Mo's Gallery. And Mo came out and entertained us a little bit.
We
had a good time talking. And Corinne and my wife and myself were working on the framing for a orphaned piece of art that we rescued from the Mountain Oyster Club, and a listed artist who's been gone now for about 15 years or so, Ernst Ulmer, a great, great watercolor of a topic called the Jayhawker, a Civil War piece. And we're looking forward to getting that back from Mo's real soon.
That artist was, did he live here in Tucson?
No, he was from Kansas City, painted primarily there, and Civil War themes were kind of the majority of what he did. And the watercolor was actually owned by Sam Campbell, who was the founder of Catalina Savings and Loan, later became Pima Savings and Loan here in Tucson. And interestingly enough, I owned Mr. Campbell's estate up on Camino Real many, many years ago. And then we subdivided that that lot for a big subdivision up there.
A full circle.
Yeah. It was pretty interesting.
All right. We're at that 100-day anniversary. Very symbolic. But it's been used, Don Jorgensen. It is been used for all the modern presidents. Look at how they are settling in, how they have done. And according to USA Today, they went back and went from back to Ronald Reagan, from Ronald to Donald, their first 100 days. And Mr. Trump did not do very well on this particular survey.
Yeah, it actually came about under FDR, looking at his first 100 days, because at that time you had the banks caving in, jobs were leaving. It was the start, heavy part of the Depression. And he set almost an unreachable standard today. I mean, he swore the entire cabinet in at one time, signed, I believe, 76 bills into law, and started rolling out the New Deal. I mean, that'd be tough for anyone to match. But that's where that idea of the 100 days came from. And all the way down today to Donald Trump, who made a huge point in his campaign of discussing all the things he would accomplish in the first 100 days. And of course, now what we're hearing this week is his attempts to lower the bar. And I think they'll claim a major success if they simply avoid a government shutdown on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because the government basically runs out of money on that 100-day anniversary.
Yeah, it's a coincidence this year, but that's the fact. So.
And then, Bruce Ash, I was looking at your Facebook page, and I saw that you characterized the first 100 days as breathtaking.
Well, they were. They are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason we probably didn't have a measure of stuff like this until Roosevelt was really all the presidents prior to Franklin Roosevelt operated very much in sort of the original concept of how the Constitution was, where there were three co-equal. The president wasn't necessarily the initiator of a lot of things. And I probably safe to say Roosevelt, the Teddy Roosevelt, was kind of where the changes really first started happening. But these first 100 days or so have been quite quite breathtaking, and probably the greatest achievement of this is the nomination and confirmation of Neil Gorsuch moving on to the Supreme Court. And this is a big deal for our country. It was probably the biggest issue in the 2016 election. But let's look at the other points by the numbers. Enacted more legislation, signed more executive orders in the first 100 days than any president in half a century. And Don, before you criticize me about executive orders, most of these were to rescind executive orders of the last president. Enacted 28 pieces of legislation, more than any other president since Truman. Signed 25 executive orders, most of any 100 days over the last 50 years. Achieved, as I said, the Supreme Court nomination. Instituted tougher immigration policies and have driven illegal border crossings to a 17-year low. Remove more job-killing regulations through legislation than any president in history. That's a big deal. That was the other prime thing that Trump ran on.
Okay.
Economic optimism has been renewed, with consumer confidence reaching its highest level in 16 years.
Hmm.
Ordered the toughest new rules to stop the revolving door between Washington lobbyists and government officials in history.
Don can't wait.
I mean, it's fascinating. This is politics that you can look at both sides of. I mean, uh-huh. What Bruce just stated are facts,
right,
which is always refreshing coming from a Republican, first mm-hmm. of all. But second, those are facts. And you can look at it from a completely opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says breathtaking, I would say, yes, a lot of Americans are holding their breath because of what's happened. What's interesting with regard to the executive orders, I forget the number. I think you said over 20, 25. Republicans made a point of vilifying Obama for all the executive orders that he signed during his presidency, which were less than most Republicans and certainly at a pace much less than what we see with Donald Trump. And the fact is he's declaring these executive orders because he's had trouble getting any major legislation passed. Just look at what has happened, and let's take a look at the other side of the coin. You mentioned immigration. He's tried two immigration travel bans. They've both been declared unconstitutional by the courts. He's failed there. He made a promise to repeal and replace Obamacare, and that was a huge failure, a major debacle. Supposedly they're going to try again, but that's still an issue because they found, number one, lives are being saved because of Obamacare, and they've been unable to come up with any realistic change or health care plan. No infrastructure plan to speak of, no tax reform plan to speak of. He's claiming now that he's going to come out with an outline on Wednesday. Well, an outline doesn't mean anything, but I think we'll see a flurry of activity to provide an illusion of leadership or action this week. And let's not forget, as Bruce I'm sure just forgot to mention, this is the first president to fall under FBI and congressional investigations within the first 100 days. That's continuing with regard to the Russian interference in the elections and possible collusion with the Trump campaign.
Boy, two
Not
different
to mention
pictures
the
being
incoherent foreign policy that we've seen in place so far.
Is the filibuster over yet?
That continues, but there's no restroom available.
Let's get back to facts. And one of the key areas is also on job creation. Far stronger enforcement of trade guidelines, improving permits for the Keystone and Dakota Access pipelines, study to use American material in future pipeline construction, withdrawing from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, ordering a freeze and study on immigration areas compromised by terrorism, halting funding to sanctuary cities, increasing numbers of immigration enforcement personnel, on public safety, establishing a commission on opioid crisis. Obama was there for 8 years. He never did that. Increasing numbers of immigration. Pardon me?
Had other priorities, like saving the auto industry and the financial system.
Yeah. Establishing.
Okay.
All right. Well, I will make one concession to what Don mentioned.
Okay.
With respect to the shortcomings of this administration so far, and that is on repealing and replacing Obamacare, we don't have a solution yet. And like the cartoon character Pogo said, we've met the enemy and the enemy is us. it really has been a failure of Democratic leadership preventing a repeal and replacement of Obamacare. It has been Republican obfuscation, Republican leadership who have forgotten what it's like to actually govern and are still campaigning and still trying to create these wedge issues that are going to help them in their next election. And it's time for this Congress. Republicans have to take leadership in order to pass a reconciliation bill and repeal Obamacare and enact a replacement for it.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. Coming up on 12:17, it is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gowring and Fine Framing. Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen continue. Talk a little bit about this possible government shutdown. What's at stake here? And that's coming up perhaps at the end of the week on Saturday. Be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday at noon, most teens have no concept of financial literacy. That according to a new survey from Junior Achievement. Plus, an outdoor writer tells us about her 5 years on the road in an RV. Buckmaster, noon to one on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Bruce Ash is here and Don Jorgensen. Bruce, do you think there will be a government shutdown on Saturday?
Probably not. And the only way it's going to happen is if the Democrats decide that they're going to commit suicide the same way that Republicans tried to commit suicide themselves in 2013. Chuck Schumer has made the border wall the big issue and has decided to crash the budget, actually more appropriately the continuing resolution over that topic. And it's possible it'll happen. I think we're probably going to have some sort of a compromise, though it may just be as simple as an extension of the current CR. But you know, at the end of the day, nobody wants a continuation of CR. I mean, I think Don would agree with that, whether you're a regular kind of domestic public agency or the military or anybody else. There's lots of things that we need to resolve and get done at the federal level, and a continuing resolution is probably not the best way to do it. We need to go through the full budget process. Ironically, in the last year of the Obama administration, the Republican House and Senate went through that process. They went through the full four stage process, and at the end of the day, the Obama administration still wouldn't pass a budget having gone through all of the hearings and all of the review and study.
How long have we been doing these continuing resolutions on the budget? Do you have any idea?
I almost can't think of a time in since the turn of this century where we haven't been in a continuing resolution kind of a situation. I mean, there may have – actually, I take that back. Mm-hmm. I think when we went to sequestration, say in 2012 – we may have actually passed a budget with sequestration, but I think since then we've been in this continuing resolution thing again.
I believe it was about halfway through the Obama administration, so I think you're right there. And I'm glad you mentioned what happened previously, because you mentioned the Republican-led Congress came to a resolution and it was blocked by the administration. So be it. Here, though, we have, again, the White House and both houses of Congress under the control of one party, and they're not able to get it done.
It takes 60 in the Senate, Don. That's
right.
That's the challenge.
And that's the challenge of leadership, and they're not able to get it done. What's interesting now is we heard yesterday and today from Chuck Schumer, who said that, in reality, the leaders of both houses in both parties, so you had Pelosi and Schumer, on the left and you had McConnell and Paul Ryan on the right, were making good progress. That was the statement that came out from Chuck Schumer, that mm-hmm. they looked forward mm-hmm. to getting it done, until the White House stepped in and made the border wall,
the wall.
Funding mm-hmm. An issue, and that's gummed up the work. So it's really interesting when you have the so-called great negotiator in the White House perhaps derailing the negotiation that was moving toward resolution.
So it seems like the wall is the big issue.
Well, the White House has made it the big issue, not Chuck Schumer. They're the ones who stuck that in the middle, and now they're trying to horse trade funding for the poorest people on Obamacare, keeping that funding to allow them to get health care in return for border wall funding. So essentially they're trading people's health and lives to get this funding that, once again, in Trump's campaign pledge, he vowed to have Mexico pay for it, and now he's trying to force American taxpayers to pay for it.
Well, that's Don's story, and he's sticking to it.
That's right.
He's got the party line, and I admire him for sticking to the party line. Donald Trump is a negotiator, and the Democrats may be interested in committing suicide, but I don't think anybody, Republicans or Democrats, are interested in that suicide pact. And I predict, and it may just be that we continue to negotiate on this, but I predict that we're not going to have that kind of a shutdown. That especially kind of a shutdown in dangerous foreign peril times that we're in right now, with problems in the Middle East, problems on the Korean Peninsula and elsewhere, does not serve us well to be in an inferior situation. And our allies depend upon us to be there in the event of any emergency. And I don't think that it's in anybody's best interest to be threatening a shutdown. And right now, it's not the Republicans that are threatening a shutdown. It's Chuck Schumer, him and the other members of the resistance, who from almost the very beginning after the election of Donald Trump have been threatening this sort of action against the new administration. And I must say also that the kind of politics that have been played with nominations, whether they be for cabinet positions, whether they be for sub-cabinet positions, is really disgraceful. And I'm hoping that the Senate will amend one additional rule that they have, going from a 30-hour ceiling down to a much more reasonable level, that will not permit the Democrats to run the clock out and slow play nominations into this administration. Our son happens to work in a key government agency, and right now it's not that there are necessarily Obama appointees that are there. There's literally no political leadership at his agency except for the director of that agency who still remains.
And the reality is, it's not so much the Democratic slow play, it's the White House non-play. There are hundreds of administrative positions and even on cabinet or sub-cabinet level positions for which Donald Trump has not even proposed nominees for. So it's not that they're
blocking
it.
That's mainly in the courts.
They're waiting for that. You can't have that discussion without looking at how Republicans blocked the nominees and slow played the nominees from Obama for years and years, of course, culminating in last year's stolen Supreme Court seat.
Wasn't stolen, Don. You know that. Again, good, so,
it was blocked.
Good try.
Does it come down to leadership?
Well, it always comes down to leadership. And the leader is the president, who's held ultimately responsible for the success or failure of his administration of moving the country forward. And again, right now in this first 100 days, you're seeing a failure of leadership there, even though, again, the Republicans hold the White House and both houses of Congress. That's being reflected, of course, in the polls. And you can take polls for what they are, but the fact is he's, I think, received the lowest approval rating for a president. I think he's hovering between 40-42% in the first 100 days of any president in modern history.
And yet an ABC Washington Post Times poll shows that Donald Trump would still beat Hillary Clinton in an election. Talk about leadership. The strike.
But that election's over, Bruce. He's president now and has to run and defend
and what the left has done and what the media has done is they talk about popularity ratings, and they don't show the fact that he would still win that election, and that 96% of all the voters who voted for Donald Trump, and there are plenty of independents and there are plenty of Democrats in that group, would still vote for him again.
That's right.
On an international basis, the president has done an enormous amount of work. But let's just look at one area,
showing leadership,
cutting regulations. Energy independence executive order, revocation of federal contracting executive orders, reexamination of CAFE standards, review of Waters of the United States rule. This is one of the most critical,
damaging rules in the EPA history. Rolled back clean
creation
water,
of
water
regulatory
and clean
task
air.
Forces, eliminating steam protection rule, eliminating regulations on extraction companies.
Here's the question. I'm going to interrupt because I know we're out of time.
Yeah, we are.
Does he want to be the president of his base or the president of all Americans? And that's the challenge he's failed to meet.
And we'll leave it right there. Don Jorgensen. Don, always good to see you. Thanks for coming in. Bruce Ash, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Elections have consequences, Bill.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook, is proud to present the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:30. We'll be right back.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Monday afternoon, the 24th of April. May we recommend a nice weekend road trip? Well, for that matter, it doesn't have to be on the weekend. It can be any time. Nice drive over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about 3 hours over there, and it's a great time of year in Grant County, a beautiful portion of southwestern New Mexico. Explore the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, where visitors can walk through the ruins that were last inhabited in the late 1200s. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for more information about the many recreation opportunities and the great places to stay. Well, over the last couple of weeks, environmental organizations and whose missions really include archaeology in the states of Utah, Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico are urgently requesting the new leadership at the Secretary of Interior's office to continue to support the designation of the Bears Ears National Monument up in Utah. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show Liveline is Bill Doley. Bill is the president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, which is based here in Tucson. It's a private nonprofit organization that for over 30 years has worked to explore and protect the places of our past across the American Southwest and the Mexican Northwest. Bill is on the Liveline with us now. Bill, how are you?
I'm really good, Bill. How are you today?
Doing very well. What is the Bears Ears National Monument? Why is it important?
Well, it's an area of about 1.35 million acres in southeastern Utah. So if you are generally familiar with that broad area, the town of Bluff is on the monument is immediately west and north of the town of Bluff, maybe due west of Blanding, or down to the southwest of Moab, Utah. So it's an extensive cultural landscape, and the canyons there have incredibly well-preserved Puebla ruins. There's rock art that is absolutely world-class, and it's a place that what's now covered with pinon and juniper trees was a breadbasket for over 1,000 people who were living there. And it's also been home for Ute and Navajo peoples in more recent time. It was the Hole in the Rock Trail brought the Mormons into the Bluff area. So it's a really rich, long-term cultural landscape. And back in, since 2014, Archaeology Southwest has been involved in a partnership out there to help promote the idea of either a national conservation area or a National Monument. And other groups, Friends of Cedar Mesa, based there in Bluff, Utah, and most importantly, the five tribes who formed the Bears Ears Coalition back in 2015. So you've got Hopi, Zuni, Navajo, and two Ute nations that came together, and they're the ones that ultimately asked President Obama to declare a national monument in that area. And that actually happened when a legislative approach championed by Utah Congressman Rob Bishop really stalled. It never got a successful move through Congress. So at the end of the year, before he left office on December 28th, President Obama declared 1.35 million acres of federal land to be the Bears Ears National Monument.
Is there public support in Utah for this, Bill Dolley?
Well, it's an interesting mix. Some surveys that were taken last summer, so back in 2016, before the establishment of the monument, well over 70% in some cases and 60% in other samples of Utah citizens said they supported the establishment of a monument. However, most of the Utah political establishment is pretty vocally against this monument. So it's and their voices are pretty loud and they've sought out the Trump administration and the new Secretary of Interior Zinke. In fact, just this morning, the Salt Lake Tribune is reporting that on Wednesday of this week, President Trump will issue an executive order that will not rescind, because that's what he's being asked to do, but this is a first stage, to review all of the national monuments that have been established since January 1st of 1996.
Huh. Bill, let me ask you: Would this be a very unprecedented for a president to undo a national monument?
It would be, and there's real serious questions about whether it's even a viable approach to take. There's full agreement that Congress would have the ability to change this designation, either make it smaller or actually even just abolish it altogether. So there is that right for Congress. But the Antiquities Act, which is how the proclamation was made by then-President Obama, goes back to 1906, and that gives the president the authority to declare via a proclamation a national monument to protect items of antiquity or scientific interest and that sort of thing. And it's been used literally by almost every president since. There's been 16 presidents, 8 Democrats, 8 Republicans, so very balanced in their use of the Antiquities Act over that long period of time. And so Grand Canyon back in the day was actually threatened. One of our Coconino County representatives, Ralph Cameron, was controlling access to the canyon by some actually bogus mining claims.
Hmm.
And so that the act was signed by Teddy Roosevelt in June 8th of 1906. And so Roosevelt took action to establish a little over 800,000 acres of the Grand Canyon as a new national monument, and it's since been expanded. It's been made into a national park, and oftentimes that's been the pattern, that a president takes action because there's kind of a stalemate on the landscape, there's pro and con forces, and the president can take that action, and usually fairly soon after, within a couple of political generations of elections and so on, people start to say, wow, that was the right decision to make, and we are really happy. I mean, can you imagine this state without Grand Canyon as a national park?
It'd be pretty hard. Bill Doley is with us from Desert Archaeology. Bill heads up that organization, that nonprofit based here in Tucson. So this is a sacred place to at least five Native American tribes. It has outstanding tourism possibilities for public visitation. It just, what is the main argument, Bill, then, about why would you undo this?
Well, they often, it's phrased as local control is, you know, better management and that sort of thing. But these are public lands. So all of the 1.35 million acres, most of it is Bureau of Land Management, so it's public land in that sense, and a couple hundred thousand acres are National Forest Service. So they would manage that land together for its protection of these resources. And everybody agrees on that point, that these places deserve protection. It's kind of it's a local control argument versus federal control. But there's a pretty strong case to be made, I think, that that there's a lot of opportunity for local voices to be brought to the discussion. There's a management plan that would be developed in the next 3 years where there is a lot of public input allowed and required. And so it's, in my mind, it misses the point that this is a way to accomplish a really important act of preservation and to balance the interests of local parties as well.
All right, Bill Doley, we're going to have to run. Bill, thank you for the update and giving us some new information here that on Wednesday it looks like the president will be reviewing all of these designations since, I believe you said, 1996.
Yes, January 1.
All right. Bill Doley, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, 12:45 on Buckmaster. Save a life. CPR to you is next. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's 10 minutes before 1 o'clock on a kind of windy afternoon. Green Things, one of our fine sponsors, urges you to visit them at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to greenthingsaz.com. They've got all these wonderful gardening workshops. You can find the full schedule on the website. Beautiful 13-acre site. Everything you need for your gardening activity. Our guest now in studio, Bill Spurbeck, is with us. Bill is the founder and CEO of a company called CPR to You. And Sean Kimball is the Vice President of Operations, and certainly it is the time of year with pool safety. First of all, Bill and Sean, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Bill, tell me about why you formed CPR to You, and I think this was about 5 years ago. You started here in Tucson, and you've really grown. You're in Tucson, Phoenix, Albuquerque, and Bend, Oregon now.
Correct. Started the company, been teaching CPR since 1983, been a paramedic in the community for over 30 years, and saw a need for it, not only for the healthcare providers, but also for the community. And then most recently, happened to be 3 years, three years ago this Mother's Day, my brother was out with his wife at a local restaurant. He went into sudden cardiac arrest, and nobody did CPR on him, and he died. And so it's even more of a passion to get the community trained in CPR.
Sean, are cardiac arrests the same thing as a heart attack?
That's a no. People can experience a heart attack and not actually go into cardiac arrest. Cardiac arrest basically is what happens when the heart comes to a stop. But you do have people, obviously, prior to that that state, oh, I'm having chest pains, difficulty breathing, or chest pressure. So there definitely is a difference between the two.
Is it more common than we might think, the cardiac arrest?
That's kind of a tough question to answer on that one. Really, the heart attack is more common than people think. That sometimes they put it off as indigestion or back pain or something along those lines. Cardiac arrest, though, is pretty straightforward. They lose consciousness, stop breathing.
Bill, what are some of the things we should learn about CPR? Probably everybody that can should learn it, correct?
Correct. In fact, state of Arizona was a 38th state last year that passed legislation that begins next year that in order to graduate high school, the student must have taken a CPR course, which includes hands-on practical. So I think that's a positive impact for the youth. Secondly, with the number of pools, and it's still kind of a sad statistic, but the number of drownings and near drownings that happen in our community or in our state because of the water safety. Another reason to take it, and then you just never know. It's not age-dependent. As we think, it's just an elderly person that's going to have the cardiac arrest or the heart attack, yet you hear quite often, even through Facebook and social media, with people having these incidences. And as we continue to grow and increase our knowledge and the training and education in our communities, people are walking out of the hospital today. So the Heart Association, I did a study about 4 or 5 years ago, I read, that says currently across the country about 12% of our communities have taken a CPR class, which is surprisingly low for as easy it is to learn.
Will your organization, Sean, do you do the demonstration? Will you go out and introduce what people need to know?
Absolutely. We teach all levels of CPR, the hands-on, as Bill was speaking of. We also teach for teachers, for coaches, family members that just want to learn, that taking CPR to take care of grandkids, stuff along those lines. And we teach everything from nurses, doctors, and paramedics, and we do come to them. The CPR to you that you were speaking of before, the two part is the number two, which is just kind of a little play on words to say that we will come to your location.
Mm-hmm. Sean Kimball is with us. Sean is the Vice President of Operations of CPR to you. And Bill Spurbeck is here. Bill is the founder and he's the CEO. Bill, how do we, is it easy to learn CPR? And the thing I'm a little confused, and some of our listeners may be confused about, is it used to be mouth-to-mouth was kind of the standard. That's pretty much changed, hasn't
changed,
it?
Yeah. That's changed over the last 4 or 5 years, and actually the studies were done here at the Sarver Heart Center, University Medical Center, showing that
Dr. Gordon Navy was one of the pioneers in that from the Heart Center here.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so to take a CPR class with us, which is adult, child, and an infant, it's about 2 hours. And in fact, this starting next month, we've partnered up with Drexel Heights Fire District, Rincon Valley Fire District, and Mountain View Fire District, and ourselves. So we're offering 10 free CPR classes a month for the next 4 months. And if you go to our website at cpr2u.com, look at Water Safety CPR. The courses are free, and it's a certified American Heart Association course. So there's West Side, Northwest Side, Far East Side, and Central locations. Monday nights, Thursday nights, Wednesday evenings, Saturdays, a couple times a month, so 10 classes a month. So there you go. No charge. Take a look at the website and sign up.
Sean, any parent who has a child and they've got a swimming pool on the property, or any parent who has a child, and even if they don't have a swimming pool, it probably is, I would think, essential for those parents to learn what to do in an emergency.
Absolutely. It's your first line step of saving somebody's life, whether it's your child or someone else. If they collapse, you can actually perform CPR on them without any harm to yourself. Another issue that people get concerned about is what's the legal thing that can happen.
And right.
The state of Arizona, there's a Good Samaritan law. Nobody's been successfully sued for actually performing CPR on somebody, especially if you're doing it to try to save somebody's life. So every parent should learn it. Anyone that takes care of children or elderly, or for that matter, anybody to the left or right of you, you should take it.
Sean, tell me a little bit about how does the mouth-to-mouth differ from the current standard of the chest compression? Can you kind of go over that for us?
Well, if you're talking about specifically chest compression, only CPR, one of the things that they found through research was that if you taught a group of folks mouth-to-mouth plus compressions and just a group of folks with the compressions only, the people with compressions only were more likely to actually step forward and take that initial step because they were concerned about placing their mouth on somebody else. Mouth-to-mouth is still taught in the CPR classes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you take the compression only, it does eliminate the mouth-to-mouth version of it, but the classes that Bill's talking about, we go over not only mouth to mouth, but mouth to barrier device for those that don't want to place their mouth on there, as well as the AED, automatic external defibrillator.
But Bill, for when you're teaching your professionals that are in the business, they're taught both, right?
Yeah, taught both, not truly mouth to mouth, but using, we have a device that we put over the mouth and assist that way. It's called an AMBU bag. You've probably seen it on TV. Mm-hmm. It looks like a mini football. Mm-hmm. On that, so
and that's what when you got into the business, you learned, I assume, the mouth to mouth.
Yes, mouth to mouth. Yes.
Yeah. And what, as a professional, do you find the chest easier to do than the mouth to mouth?
Well, the chest compressions
are they both effective?
They're both effective. In fact, Recent studies, some of our local fire agencies have actually been involved in national studies and shown that starting the chest compressions, just doing compression only CPR, the outcome really outweighs of potentially taking the time to try to ventilate the patient, and you always got the concern of the diseases and what I should be doing or not doing it and stuff, but just starting on the chest, pushing hard, fast, and deep 100 times a minute saves lives.
All right, Bill, we're about out of time, Bill and Sean, but we do want to direct our listeners to your website. That's probably the best place to get going, right?
Correct.
And that is?
www.cpr2.com, or you can call us at 520-400-8204.
And these classes are taught at a very convenient time, Sean? Or?
Yes, we've actually placed them throughout the week. We do Monday through Saturday. We do days. We do evenings. We do nights. So it fits everybody's schedule.
All right. Good organization. CPR to you. Thank you very much,
Thank
gentlemen.
You, Thank you.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw. Mike Shaw will be ably assisted by my friend Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. Together they'll do the show from 4 to 5, and I think they'll be updating the fire that's been going on, at least 4,500-acre fire down in Madera Canyon. Also, this tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow at 12:04. On behalf of Ray, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.